During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with a new guest today, forensic scientist and distinguished scholar of applied forensic at Jacksonville State University. Joseph Scott Morgan is with us. I want to welcome you to the program. Thank you for taking the time to be here. Let's jump in to discuss Brian Koberger specifically. Let's talk about something we hear about quite a bit, the genealogical DNA evidence in this case that's linking Koberger to the crime via a familial connection. I want to talk about that because some people say, oh, this is golden. This is super solid. You can't really argue it. I see other attorneys, if you will, sometimes arguing, saying, yeah, there's a lot of holes we can poke into that. From a forensic scientist point of view, how valuable is that the genealogical DNA evidence in a case like this?
Yeah, it's the line from which he descends. And I think that's the most, and putting aside all of the rhetoric of attorneys and this sort of proven science,
yep.
And it has held up, you know, thus far. I think that they're probably what they're talking about perhaps, is a collection of said items, you know, the provenance of them and the provenance of the samples. That's really the only way I could see them trying to debate this. But the science itself is pretty rock solid when compared to some other practices within forensic science. So it is, you're on the cutting edge. And of course, anytime you're on the cutting edge of things, you know, it's going to be drawn into question. But, you know, the fact that, you know, when you one person kind of talks about it this way, it is almost as if distant cousins are pointing at you accusingly at this point in time, because you're interconnected through all of this, the lineage that goes back now.
Is there any room to say that there's an error here, or this could be somebody else in terms of realistic odds when it comes to something like this?
I suppose you could put it forward, but it would, I think that from just a numerical standpoint, when you begin to talk about it, I guess some people could put forward, you know, well, perhaps it is somebody else, but it would have to be somebody else within his familial line. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think any right-thinking person that might be on a jury somewhere is, they're going to have a real hard time getting past that. That's how solid this evidence is. This is not like, you know, over the last few years, there's been a lot of questions about different types of forensic practices that are out there. Bite mark is all but gone the way of the dodo bird now. certain things, even in bloodstain evidence, you know, people draw into question the science behind that. But when you start to talk about these astronomical numbers of probability and that sort of thing within genetic genealogy, it's really a tough mountain for the defense to climb.
That's an interesting way of looking at it and expressing that, where could there be someone else that matches this? Yes, but it would have to be someone, either it's a lottery chance, or even more so than if finding another person on the planet that's not related that would have that. Nearly impossible. Right down to, well, then it otherwise has to be like a sister
or something well, yeah, of that nature.
Or a cousin, you know, perhaps. Sure. But again, you have to, you know, and you begin to think about, you know, the probability relative to circumstantial evidence, like his placement in these locations, you know, where these victims are found. It's not like, say, for instance, you have a hub of where a familial DNA may spring from. And I'm talking about geographically, right? Like if his family has been in one particular geographic area for a protracted period of time and they've set down roots there and you've got family members that are dispersed and you say, oh, well, it might have been cousin Fred. No, you're talking about a kid allegedly that has transported himself from Pennsylvania all the way across the United States to the sleepy little town in Idaho. What are the odds of that? And again, I talk about this, and I think that probably the prosecution will weave this into this narrative. And another thing that's even, you know, for me, that throughout the entire course of talking about this case for as long as I have now, why did he choose Washington State University? Why did he choose when he lived in a state that has, he was domiciled in Pennsylvania, where there are, I think, 4 PhD programs in criminology. He matriculated from a school that doesn't have a PhD in criminology, but yet, you know, has a behaviorist program. But yet he had that set up. And when you're in the northeastern United States, for my colleagues that are over in criminology, I'm a forensic scientist, but when you're in criminology, that, you know, a large concentration of these programs, PhD programs in criminology, are located in the northeastern corridor of the United States, you know, up and down this eastern seaboard. And so it's just an odd pick. I'm not saying that Wazoo is a bad school. I am just merely saying, why did he choose Washington State to attend school there? And he had only been there for a very short period of time.
Well, the question was asked to him early on, and what a very bizarre answer he gave of the shopping is better there. And one could read into that a little bit. What are you shopping for, people?
No kidding. You know, and all of the intrigues. And I'm gonna be very keen to see how all this plays out, the back narrative to this, because let me kind of lay this out so that because I am in academia, you know, I've been a college professor for 20 years now, and there's a certain method to how you go about getting into a PhD program. First off, you have to be recommended. And generally, that's going to require, depending upon the institution, about 3 to 5 letters of recommendation. They have to be solid, too. It has to be something that's going to, you know, talk about your research, your interests, what type of student you are, all of these sorts of things. Who generated those letters for him? They have to be out there somewhere. And then his Washington State application, you know, who's all interwoven into that? None of that stuff has been released. Another piece to this, when someone goes out to participate in a PhD program, this is not like going to get a master's degree, because you go and get a master's degree in something that interests you. You might do research. People, you know, generate a thesis many times, but it's not an in-depth dissertation. Most people that go out to get a PhD in something are looking for somebody to learn from, a specific member of that faculty that has an interest or has a study area where this student, potential student, can say, okay, that's the person I want to be tied to. And, you know, we're talking about genealogy here. Let's think about academic genealogy, because all of this research that's done, that, you know, thousands and thousands of documents that are generated all across the country, there's a familial lineage to that, because you're studying under one behaviorist. And you say, well, I come from this school of thought. Well, what school of thought are you going after when you go to Wazoo after you packed your bags in Pennsylvania and you headed west?
That's interesting. I mean, Catherine Ramsland was the one that he studied under. I actually just had her on the show last week, and we couldn't say a word about Koberger, so we talked about BTK for a good hour. But it is something I would love to have asked her, how any of that went. But that's interesting. Obviously, she's the one who wrote the book on BTK and that sort of behavior, and there's been many correlations brought. Obviously, very different type of killers and very different type of crimes, but certain aspects of them somewhat, you know, related, I would say. Are you getting to maybe he specifically chose that area because of who he was able to learn from and who Catherine might have been connected to?
I don't know that I am getting to that point relative to that. I would look back to the victims.
Okay.
I want to know and I want to understand, and hopefully this is going to be explored as we go forward, and certainly in court. What was the connectivity between the accused and the individuals that were domiciled in that house at the time of this massacre. I want to know, what is it that drew him to them specifically? Is this somebody, or was there an individual within that house that was targeted as a result of him arriving in Pullman, Washington, and then kind of creeping around the U of I campus, you know, for in the preceding weeks or the months leading up to their massacre? Or is this something that he had knowledge of, maybe vis-a-vis social media, prior to his arrival? And so I think that those are questions that have that are dying to be asked right now and to be answered, and that maybe the PhD program, I don't know, maybe was an afterthought. Maybe it's he had an impressive enough record as a graduate student working on his master's degree there at DeSales that he could have, maybe he could pick and choose what universities he wanted to attend. But why that isolated location so very far away from home?
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.